Well, we thank you for the opportunity to be here. I'm speaking for the students that we enjoy it, and for myself, that we enjoy the experience and are thankful for the invitation. One correction I will make, if you have complaints, talk to the students. If you have praise, speak to me. John chapter 2, we're looking at the first miracle of our Lord. John, the second chapter, the marvelous work that Jesus did, turning the water into wine. And on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And Jesus also was invited, and his disciples, to the wedding. And when the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what do I have to do with you? My hour is not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were 6 stone water pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification, containing 20 or 30 gallons each. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now, and take it to the head waiter," and they took it to him. And when the head waiter tasted the wine which tasted the water which had become wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man serves the good wine first, and when men have drunk freely, then that which is poorer. You have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. We have often wondered and questioned as to what kind of world in which Jesus came. That question can be viewed from many different perspectives. Jesus came into a political world. He came into a world that was at unrest. But he came into a very ordinary world. He came into a world that was not unlike the world in which we're living today, because it's made up of the same kind of people. He came into an ordinary world that was surrounded by ordinary events, made up of ordinary people, living in kind of ordinary circumstances that people are living in then and people are living in right now. A world that is not different, a world that is not new. But Jesus came to a world that was not extraordinary, but he did something extraordinary in it. He did something that was different, something that was unusual, something that was not given to the ordinary circumstances of life. This was a common wedding attended by common people. The mother of Jesus was there, and she asked Jesus to do something. She turned to Jesus as if she had certain expectations of him, that here, that I'm looking upon this man who happens to be my son, and I'm expecting something of him that you do not expect of other people. Jesus turned to her and said, "What are you asking me to do?" As if we are looking at this text in one sense, as if he almost rebuffed his mother and said, "What are you asking of me? My time," the Authorized Version says, "my time has not yet come." There were water jars there, because it was the custom of the Jews to have much water for purification. They needed it. It was a part of the law, a part of that which they had added to the law, cleansing, that was needed for any kind of circumstance such as a wedding. And so there were water jars there, and these water jars were filled to the brim because they needed a lot of water to be clean. Jesus performed this first of his miracles among ordinary people, people like you and me. But simply because they were ordinary people, and simply because we are ordinary people, does not mean that we are unimportant. There's a distinction, there's a difference. And we want you to understand that distinction and that difference. That ordinary people are not unimportant. That Jesus is teaching us, and he is telling us something here, that we are important people, and that Jesus is doing something important for us and through us and in us. That here he is about to start his life work. And this is the way we look upon the first miracle of Jesus Christ. That he is starting his life work. What was the life work of Jesus Christ? The life work of Jesus was to die. And he is about to start that life work. And in starting that life work, he is making something new. It was a ho-hum world. A ho-hum wedding. An ordinary wedding. Not unusual. Weddings happen every day and all the time. Nothing unusual about it. But do we understand that the Son of God is about to reveal himself? That here, it's ordinary circumstances, but in these ordinary circumstances, the Son of God chooses to reveal himself. He chooses to declare himself to the world. Potentially, it was very embarrassing. You don't know how many friends you have until you plan a celebration, until you're going to provide free wine. Then you discover how many friends you have. A potentially very embarrassing circumstance. Because they were going to celebrate. They were going to celebrate a wedding. And right there, in those very simple circumstances, in those very ordinary circumstances, Jesus Christ is going to make a new start, a new beginning. In the simplest of people, where was Jesus on this day? Do we find Jesus among the religious leaders? Do we find him seeking out the Pharisees, the priests, the leaders of the day? No, we find him on this day, when he chooses to declare himself, we find him with the people. Do we find him taking his message and his meaning and himself to the common, ordinary people of that day? Is there hope for mankind? Is there any kind of hope that man can live, that he can believe, that he can serve? Is there anything that he can give himself to in this time and in this day? In an ordinary world in which everything has become ho-hum and humdrum, when everything around us is becoming so boring, is there anything I can give my life to anymore? Is there any hope for a new life in the kind of world in which we find ourselves now? And out of these simple beginnings of a simple wedding, Jesus chooses to declare himself. Is there anything exciting anymore? Men are walking on the moon. So what? Is there anything exciting in which we can believe, in which we can live, in which we can find excitement in life that we can give ourselves to now? Who can we trust? Who can we believe in? Who can we serve? What does it take to get some excitement into our lives today? What is there in the world that we can really believe in? What is there in the world that we can really give ourselves to and say, yes, this is what I want, and this is what I believe in, and this is worthy of my life? Inflation, recession, starvation, obsession, possession, and we can go on and on and on. People are about to give up under the stress. There's too much of it. We can't stand it. There's so much going on, and so much of it is so meaningless and so unworthy of our time and our consideration that we are about to give up under the stress. It's all around us. There are 5,000 more suicides than there are murders every year. 5,000 more suicides than there are murders every year. People want to get back to the simple life, when things were not so difficult, when you knew what was right and you knew what was wrong, and you knew that there was a simple life and I could keep my life in a well-structured, orderly form. And I knew what was going to happen the next day when I got up, and I could pretty well order and structure my life. People want that, the simple life. They want things black and white again, seemingly. The mother of Jesus told him that they were out of wine, And she told him in such a way as if she expected something of him. She expected Jesus to do something about the ordinary circumstances of their life. Jesus was not being rude to his mother. He said, "My time has not come." And seemingly, it appeared that he might have been rude, but he was not. But Jesus wanted her to understand, and he wants us to understand, that there's something serious about life. And contrary to what many people are telling us today, the charismatic people, contrary to what they're telling us, you don't get a miracle by the flip of a lip. It's not that easy. Life is too serious to take it in that easy a term. That there's too much going on in life that things are just had for the saying and for the thinking about them and for the talking about them. There's much more to life than that. And Jesus was about to begin his work of dying. And that's serious business. When a person dies, that's serious. And when a person dies for the sins of the world, that's serious. And you don't take it lightly. And you don't consider it lightly. Because something's happening here. And when Jesus turns water into wine, that's serious business. And maybe we're common people. And maybe we're ordinary people. But Jesus is doing that. He's turning that water into wine for us. And he's making it new. And so they brought the water that was made into wine to one of the persons there at the feast and at the wedding. And he said, most people give the good wine at the first of the wedding, and they have the poorer wine later on after everyone has had their fill. But he says, you have saved the best for last. And so this is serious business. And it's something that Jesus is engaging in. And it's a very human story. But do you see? Even though there are ordinary people, and even though we're very common people, that Jesus comes into the very human situation in which we're living, and he does something with it. Can we follow that? Can we understand that? That Jesus enters in, and he does something. And what does he do? He makes us taste the very best. That it's the very best wine that they had. It's the very best wine that they had at the wedding that Jesus had to offer. There's lots of trouble in the world, friends. It's all around us. Life begins in trouble, doesn't it? Remember? Remember the day you were born? No. But life begins in trouble. A lot of pain, a lot of suffering, taken out of that warm, moist, comfortable womb and thrown into a hard, cruel, cold world. Life begins in trouble. And life ends in trouble. And there's a lot of trouble in between, and I don't need to tell you about that, do I? Because you're having it, and you're experiencing trouble. You're experiencing worry, concern, all the time. It's all around us. So life begins in trouble, it ends in trouble, and there's trouble between. So what do we have? We have a new wine. We have that that enters into these ordinary circumstances of life, and it gives us something new. That it takes those ordinary circumstances of our life and gives us something new. There's war, there's despair, there's grief, there's personal tragedy, there's corruption in government, and we know that. And every day isn't a wedding day. We don't have weddings every day of our lives. There's that joy, but then suddenly there's the reality of the circumstances in which we find ourselves. And we don't always have those beautiful day experiences to lift us up and hold us up. And if you are like I am, then you blame everybody else for your troubles. The reason I have this trouble is because of, if they didn't do this to me, or if that didn't happen, then I wouldn't have all the troubles that I'm having. And we tend to blame other people for our troubles. And so here we have man in an ordinary world, surrounded by ordinary trouble, and living in a world in which he is trying to get on. And so the world is full of bad news. And isn't that too bad, that the world is full of bad news? But what do we have? We have Jesus Christ. And that's good news. That Jesus Christ came to that wedding. And that's good news. The bad news of the world is confronted by the good news of Jesus Christ, that he made something new, that he changed it, that he takes this whole hum world in which people are walking on the moon, and he makes something exciting about it. He gives us something that is exciting, something to live for, something to believe in, something to have, something to hold, something that's with us, and something that's real. Is there anything real? Is everything made out of plastic? Is there anything real anymore? And Jesus Christ is real. And the things that he says are true. And there are things that we can understand and believe in. Jesus is that good news. There's a television station in Rockford where we get our television in Oregon, and they try every day to have one good news item on the news, evening news at 5:30, 6 o'clock. And some days they're really hard-pressed. They're hard-pressed to come up with one good news item. They keep asking people to write in with good news. And they surely don't have that much to share. And I guess it's because people don't feel like there's much good news in the world. But I'm here to tell you that there is. That there's good news. And that Jesus Christ is that good news. Because Jesus saves the day. They were in trouble in that wedding. Because nobody wanted the embarrassment of not having enough wine for their guests. But Jesus saves the day. He's good news for parents who are trying to raise their children. Jesus is good news at play. He's good news at work. He's good news for small problems. He's good news for big problems. He's good news for a wedding. Jesus didn't come across as a bragging Superman and say, "Here I am." He didn't go into a phone booth and suddenly change his clothes and suddenly everything was all right. Jesus doesn't come to people that way. He came very quiet, unassuming, but he entered in and he knew what he was doing, and he performed according to promise. And there's not very many people that can perform according to promise. But Jesus Christ did that, and he does that, and he's good news. He's a very quiet, confident Savior. That's what Jesus is. He's very quiet. But he's very confident because he knows what he's doing in your life. Right now, he knows what he's doing. How does Jesus do that? How does Jesus enrich our life? How does he change water into wine? I don't know. I don't know how he changed that water into wine. But he did it with a cross. Jesus Christ does it with a cross. He died on a cross. And that's the way he makes things new. That's the way he comes into our life and he makes things new. He does them over. Are you tired of worrying about those problems? Are you really tired of those concerns, those things that depress you and keep you down all the time? Jesus does it with a cross. Life is made up of suffering. It begins with suffering. There's suffering in the end, there's suffering in the beginning, and there's suffering in between. And we know about that. But Jesus makes things new. Because I'm a human being, I make things pretty tough for myself. I can't attribute that to others. I make things pretty tough for myself. Oh, certainly, others contribute to the problems I have in life. But I do enough of it myself because I'm a human being. But Jesus provides the new wine. He provides the best, and he delivers according to his promise, that he has said that he will provide something for us, and he does that for us. He perks up our life. He makes our life exciting. He makes our life real, and he makes our life livable. And that's what we're trying to do, live a life. There's dismal news, and there's bad news. But Jesus is new, and he brings something that is new, and he gives something that is new for us. Believing in the confidence of Jesus Christ is the greatest thing that man can ever do. The greatest thing that he can ever do is taste that new wine. The greatest thing that we can ever do in our lives is open ourselves to that and say, I'll try it. I'll try that new wine. I'll see what he can do with the circumstances of my life, and I'll let him apply himself to my problems and to my situation of life. The greatest thing that any man can ever do for himself is say, I'll attend that wedding, and I'll taste that wine. I'll taste that new wine that he has offered to me, and I'll see what it is, that my life can be made new, that it can become exciting, that I don't have to live with those problems, that they don't have to dominate me, they don't have to overshadow me, but I can taste the new wine in Jesus Christ, because therein is something I can give my life to. Therein is something I can believe in. Therein, that is something that's real, that's something that's genuine, and something that's for me. And I believe in it.